From Hollywood, it's time now for...
Johnny Dollar.
Oh, good, good.
Huh?
Johnny, this is Ben Pringle.
Ben, how are you? Still selling insurance to Star Mutual?
No, not anymore.
Oh, that's nice. You were talking about retiring.
And I have retired. Yes, you know, I quit the insurance business and bought myself a poultry farm.
Well, good for you. Where is it, Ben?
It's right here in Vineland, New Jersey.
And how's it going?
Oh, terrible, darn terrible.
Oh?
When I think of all the pretty chickens that I've lost.
Well, what seems to be the trouble?
Johnny, somebody's trying to put me out of business.
Well, I don't know who or why or how, but Ben, if I can be of any help to you.
You can, Johnny, you can. I was going to call Star Mutual because everything I have is insured pretty heavily, but first I thought I'd make sure that you're available.
For you, anytime.
Well, then come on down here, will you? In the meantime, I'll notify the company that you're on the way.
Just give me your address and I'll be on my way. Bailey, in the exciting adventures of a man with the action-packed expense account, America's fabulous freelance insurance investigator,
yours truly, Johnny Dollar.
Now, act one of yours truly, Johnny Dollar.
Expense account submitted by Special Investigator Johnny Dollar to the Star Mutual Insurance Company Home Office, New York, New York. Following is the account of expenses incurred during my investigation of the sick chick matter. Item 1, 1050, train fare and incidentals, Hartford to Philadelphia. There, to be sure of adequate transportation, I rented a car. That's item 2, $50 a month. The 35-mile drive south on Route 47 was on a platform. I finally turned left on the Vineland Main Street, Landis Avenue. Vineland, the heart of sunny Southern Jersey. At least that's what the sign said. It's a busy little city, Landis Avenue, a busy street. Finally, I stopped at a mobile gas station on the far edge of town to ask about the address Ben Pringle had given me.
Just keep going straight out Landis Avenue for about 5-6 miles, and you come to East Vineland.
East Vineland.
Yeah, then you turn right, go about a mile and a half. You can't miss it, if you can pick it out from the rest of the poultry farm.
A lot of them, huh?
Vineland's the egg basket of the world. Where do you suppose Philadelphia, New York, and the rest get all their eggs and chickens?
Yeah, well, I'd better get underway. Thanks a lot.
Anytime, mister.
The gas attendant was right. There were enough chicken ranches in the outlying sections to supply half a dozen cities. And trying to pick out the one belonging to Ben Pringle was a problem. Finally, to ask further directions, I pulled up at the nearest farmhouse.
Yeah? What do you want?
I'm looking for Mr. Ben Pringle's place.
Oh, Ben Pringle. He's right next door.
Oh.
God, the poor man.
Poor man?
Yes, he used to come down here from New York. He has spent all his money, and what happens? He's going to lose his flock.
Doesn't know much about raising chickens, huh?
Yeah, he said, don't know nothing. Joe, my old man, he should try to tell him when he comes here. It should take more than the money to raise a chicken. So why don't he get out? Why don't he sell out before he spends all his money and lose everything?
You think that's what he ought to do?
I'm appealing to him. My older man, he's appealing to him. What's your name?
Johnny, darling.
And then it's him on you telling him. He's like all of us.
Oh, what do you mean?
Oh, they make us some money in the big city. They want to be what you call a retire on it.
So?
So they're coming down here. Got a nice piece of farmland. We got a plenty nice of farmland here.
Nice, you
got. So they think all of them need is some chicken houses, some chicken feed. And then all of them got to do is collect the eggs and make a lot of money.
But it's not that easy.
Huh. Ben Pringle, he's no listen to us anymore. He's going to lose his flock. He's going to have to sell out cheap. He's a loser, sir.
And his farm goes to rack
and
roll.
Uh-huh. And that's when somebody else comes in. Somebody who doesn't know how to raise the chickens. They buy them up cheap.
Oh? Is that how you got this big place of yours?
Oh, sure. We start with a little place. We work hard. We make a little money. Then, when somebody like him comes along, we buy them out. We got a nice, bigger place.
That sort of thing happens very often around here, Mrs. Renzulli.
Oh, sure, all of the time. You ask for Tony Pasquale. Now, he's got a big farm. You ask for Tommy Cimera. Same thing. You know Tommy Berlusconi?
No.
You ask for him. Same thing. famous in your... What's the matter, huh?
I was just thinking, Mrs. Venturi, it's pretty much to your advantage to see these people go broke, isn't it?
No, you're just the one, man.
Thanks, though, isn't it?
Look, I don't know who you are, what you want, what's your business.
My business is finding out why Ben Pringle's having trouble, maybe who is causing it.
You get out of here. I don't like it the way you talk.
Sure.
I don't think I like you.
Yeah? Maybe you'll like me even less after I've talked to Ben Pringle. How about that?
Get out!
By golly, I'm glad you can make it, Johnny. Yes, you
must. Yeah. Well, from what I hear, Ben, you're having a pretty rough time.
Oh, I suppose my own fault, Johnny. Walking into a project like this without knowing more about it.
Well, how deep have you gone into this, Leo?
Oh, my, too deep, Johnny, too deep. All in all, I spent nearly $40,000. That's just about all I have. And most of it had to go for replacing my herd.
Herd?
Yeah, my herd of chickens. And I thought it would be so easy, you know, to buy a few hundred chickens.
Yeah, throw them some feed, collect the eggs, collect the money.
Yeah, and I'd be fixed up for like, oh, dear, there are more diseases a chicken can catch. There are more lice and bugs. Oh, no, this.
Hey, Ben, you said something about somebody's trying to put you out of business.
That's right, Johnny, and I'm sure of it. But why, I don't know. I didn't know I had an enemy in the world.
Well, what's going on?
Well, just when you see my herd of chickens. And if you don't agree with me, I'm sure you'll agree with me.
About what?
That they're being poisoned. What? That's what.
By whom?
I think I know. Oh, yes, sir.
Well?
By somebody who'd like to see me go broke.
So that he could buy you out cheap. Who, then?
I'll tell you who. Because he wants to add my property to his. And he's right next door. And his name is Joe Lindsley.
Act two of yours truly, Johnny Dollar, in a moment.
And now for another episode in the life of Sergeant Donald Bellwether, my husband.
Reba! Reba!
What is it, Donald?
Confound it, Reba. I can't find the fountain pen. I've looked all through this desk.
Here it is. Here it
is.
You must take it as a marker when you're reading this book. See, this great literary classic, Six-Gun Showdown of Powder River Gulch.
All right, never mind about my reading habits. Just look at the coverage we're going to get with this new auto accident policy.
Mm-hmm. Well, collision.
Mm-hmm. $50 deductible.
Mm-hmm. Fire, death, public liability, property damage, medical benefits. Well, it would be a complete coverage.
That's right. Of course, it's going to cost us money. I'm sending your company a check right now. Gee, it's too bad we don't live in Rhode Island.
Rhode Island, why?
Well, because NRA could be lower. Rhode Island has less accidents per capita than any other state.
Oh. Well, which state has the highest?
I see, yeah. Oh, here it is, Nevada. Oh, by golly, Nevada's second highest. Alaska has the most.
Really? I didn't see that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just too bad we can't eliminate traffic accidents completely. Not only would it save life and land, but it'd be a lot less fare on the pocketbook.
Yeah, that's for sure. These automobile accident policies get more expensive every year. Just because there's so many costly accidents.
Well, I'm glad we've got some good insurance coverage, Donna, but just remember one thing.
Oh, what's that, honey?
Well, some auto accidents ruin a fender, and some ruin a family.
Yeah, that's true, very true.
But as far as I'm concerned, I don't want any of your old insurance money. I want you, here at home, safe and sound. You always drive carefully, don't you?
Yes, I will be.
That's my Donald. That's my doll.
And now, Act Two of yours truly, Johnny Dollar, and the Sick Chick Matter.
Ben, you're sure that Jay
and
you're trying to kill off your flock, put you out of business.
Jay and Jimmy, I'm sure. But just wait, you see. Johnny, I have got the sickest herd of chickens you ever saw.
Okay, Ben, let's take a look at them. So I'm afraid I don't know much about the critters.
You don't have to. Anybody could tell. Just anybody. Come on. Come on.
Have you talked with a vet about
them? Huh. Sure I have. Finest vet in the county, too. Dr. Goldhat. Now, he has a regular laboratory known all over the world. He's the one that cured him with the cholera and the hepatitis and the sinusitis and the toxic hepatitis. Person. Johnny, after I'd called him in so many times, he even gave me a book.
A book?
Yes, he did. So that I'd know what all the diseases were, and, well,
So I didn't have to make him drive all the way out here when I just forgotten to give the hens a landmass or enough water or something like that.
You'd forget to give. Well, no wonder you've had trouble with your flock.
And I was, guess I was kind of a nuisance to him too, but I did so want my herd to be a good one and lay a lot of eggs for me.
Well, what does the vet say about what ails them now?
Well, I haven't told him.
You haven't told him?
No, sir. I'm afraid I still owe him a pretty big bill.
Yeah, but look, Ben, huh?
I looked in the book. I looked in the book, Johnny. And there's nothing in it about the way they are. Well, they're not any good. And that's why I sent to you.
But Ben, I tell you, I don't know anything about them. Of course, if you're right, if they're being poisoned. Oh, let's take a look at it.
Yes. You'll see. You'll see.
They got a nice looking layout, I'll say that. Nice new houses, Bob. Big fenced in yards, or whatever you call them. Then there's plenty of room for them to. Oh!
Yeah, yes, sir. You see? They're all so sad looking. They're just so sad and petulant. As though they're holding against me for whatever reason. You poor little thing.
So help me, I've never seen it. Do chickens ever suffer from the blind staggers?
Any of the blind staggers that like horses? Yeah. Oh, no, sir. No, I'm sure. But because it isn't in the book. And if it isn't in the book,
Ben, you sure you haven't been spiking their drinking water with some of your private stock?
Oh, why, of course not, young.
You know, you and my one insurance contact that always suggested the nip of that bottle you kept on your desk.
Oh, now, John.
Oh, these chickens sure look. Hey. You said you'd feed them a lane, man.
It's right here in the shed. Come on. But, what are you thinking of?
Oh, if any of that stuff should get good and wet and ferment.
Oh, no, no, no. It's as sweet and dry as the day I bought it from Jake Rubinoff. There. Is he there? You see what I mean?
Where's Jake Rubinoff?
He's the biggest seed dealer in town.
Yeah. Certainly smells all right.
Yeah, it is all right. Oh, no, sir. My herd has been poisoned.
And you suspect Joanne Zulli on the next farm?
Of course I do.
Wasn't he one of the people who tried to help you get started when you first came down?
Oh, sure, 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 yes, he pretends to. But I can see now it's just a look over my nice place. See how much he can get his hands on when I go broke.
Well, if you had some concrete reason for thinking he might be poisoning your flock.
I've seen him. Yes, I have. I've seen him with my own eyes. Come right over here at night. Several times.
What?
And scatter something over the fence. Into my pen. Out of a big sack.
What was it?
Yeah. By the time it was daylight and I could see, the chickens had eaten it all.
You sure it was Ben Zulli?
Of course I am.
Okay, okay, Ben. I'm going over and talk with him. I went back to the farm next door and found Joe and Zulli in one of his sheds. Tall, husky, and well tanned. He was hard at work building some kind of an affair with a large wooden frame.
There! He's a fish. I say, Mr. Dollar, you're keeping the chickens in a cage up off the ground. They're more healthy. They're more fat. Bring a better price in the market. How you like that, huh?
I asked you a question, Mr. Renzulli. I'd like an answer. Now.
All right. All right, I tell you.
I think you better.
It's because I try to help the poor man without even finding out. So I throw it over the fence at night when he's in O.C.
Throw what over the fence? Well?
Yeah. Move. Suck. Hey, you see? In this one.
XLNC Vitaglow supplement.
That's right. The vitamins.
Vitamins?
These are chickens. They're sick. He don't know what to do. He's a waste all his money. He's a nice fella, so I help him.
You sure that bag doesn't contain some kind of poison?
Poison. Poison?
Yeah.
No!
Where'd you get that stuff?
Jake Rubinoff feed store. What are you trying to accuse me of?
Nothing. Yet.
I'm going to try to help the poor man, that's all. You don't like that?
I want a sample of that stuff.
Sure. Take all you want. So what are you going
to
do?
Well, it's too late now, but in the morning I'm going to take it into town to the feed place and check on it.
You go ahead.
And believe me, if there's anything wrong with it, I'm coming back here with the police in tow.
Police?
You better talk, Renzulli.
You don't understand. You don't know. A smaller place like this, you've got to stay friendly with everybody.
Huh?
You make a trouble for people, it's no good.
What are you talking about?
Your neighbor is your friend.
Oh, sure. Just like you're a good friend of Ben Pringle.
Yeah, that is so.
But you're protecting somebody who's poisoning his chicken.
No, that's a big lie.
Now, what's all this double talk? Why are you so afraid I'll bring the police out here?
Well, I'm not.
I mean...
Or maybe you've done something you're afraid they'll tag you for, is that it?
No, that is wrong.
Fact remains, you know something about Ben Pringle's trouble with his flock.
I tell you...
You tell me nothing. Okay, I'll find out for myself.
Good. That is good.
Huh?
You no live here. You find out. That's all right. That's the good.
Find out what?
You find out.
And that's all I could get out of him. And on the way back to Ben Pringle's farm, I suddenly began to wonder if I hadn't stepped into something more than just a bunch of sick kicks. You know something? As it turned out, I certainly had.
Of yours truly, Johnny Dollar, in a moment.
Do you know who said, "Absolute freedom of the press to discuss public questions is a foundation stone of American liberty"? Those words were said by former President Herbert Hoover. Mr. Hoover was well aware of the important role that freedom of the press had played in the creation and growth of the United States of America. He realized that without freedom of the press, no democratic form of government could exist. One of the first steps in the path toward totalitarianism is the creation of a controlled press. A free press hampers the work of a potential dictator. When the press is free, the people of a country are free. When the press is not free, the people of a country are in danger of slavery. Remember the words of Herbert Hoover. They are part of your American heritage. Freedom of the press is a foundation stone of American liberty. And now, Act 3 of yours truly, Johnny Dollar and the Sick Chick Matter.
By the time I got back to Ben Pringle's place, he had spread something in his past for supper on the kitchen table.
Just help yourself here, Johnny. There's plenty more in the stone. If I don't cook the best canned beans you ever eat.
Yeah.
I think they should have some ketchup.
Hey, look, man, as I told you, I got nothing out of Joe and Billy, except the powerful feeling that he's protecting one of your neighbors around here.
Well, you know how it is out in the country this way, Johnny. A man who tells on his neighbors, well, he's an outcast.
Hey, maybe that's why Ranzulli didn't mind if I could find out what's going on here for myself.
I still think he's doing it. Yes, sir.
Whose place is that on the other side? I noticed a brand new Lincoln out front.
Oh, yes. Well, he's a nice young man. Oh, he's real nice.
Yeah, what's his name?
John Culpepper. He came up here from the South. I can tell that by the way he talks.
Well, what's he do?
Oh, he just lives there, yes. Oh, he has some of the biggest parties, but... Young men. All he wants to drink.
Oh, no wonder you like him. If he can sprounge drinks from him.
Oh, but I have tried to drop one on my hand, but he's always just shoved the bottle in my hand and told me to come back here and enjoy it by myself. Am I to refuse a nice gesture like that?
That barn in back of this place. Horses? Dogs?
Oh, no animals of any kind. What are you doing now?
Yeah?
Yeah, I'm a very sound sleepy in Johnny, very, but I'm sure that I've heard some big trucks pulling in there at night. And I've often wondered about it. Well, Johnny, I just want to go back to sleep.
Johnny, have you got a flashlight I can use?
Oh, sure, Johnny, I have. I'll get it for you, too. Why? What are you going to do?
Let's, call it a little exploring. The night was warm, and some of Ben's chickens were still out in the yard. They were gathered by a section of the fence right next to the neighbor, Mr. Culpepper's barn. And I noticed something else, a well-worn path from that barn to the fence. Funny. Quietly as possible, I climbed over the fence and worked my way to the barn. There was a light on somewhere inside of it. And then he caught it. A faint, piercing odor that I hadn't smelled, so help me, since I'd worked on a case down in the hillbilly country of Kentucky. I sneaked over to a crack in one of the barn doors. Inside, I could see cases and cases of bottles and the outline of a huge copper still. Moonshot.
Stand still, Mr.
Huh?
Don't you move, sir. I'll blow your head off. Revenue, huh?
Revenue.
I've seen you poking around in dealers and tingles today, and I figured you might be dropping in.
No.
Keep your hands up.
Oh, now, look, Culpepper.
No, you look.
If you'll reach inside the pocket of my jacket, you'll find a card case that'll show you who and what I am.
You know, I might just do that now. But don't you try anything funny. Keep it right up over your head.
If you'd like to smash
one. Don't move. There's enough light coming through the crack in this door. Now, you stand still while I... Johnny Dollar. Insurance investigator?
That's right.
Well, then what are you doing here?
Culpepper, the only interest I have in your still is what it's doing to Ben Pringle's chicken.
What's that?
Yeah, and in getting this gun away.
No, I'll shoot you. No, you. Look, I'll make a deal with you. Say, a couple of $1,000 to keep your mouth shut about my still?
I told you I don't care about your still.
I don't get it.
That's out of my bailiwick. All I care about is... Wait a minute. You make whiskey out of mash. Have you been dumping sour mash over Pringle's fence?
Hey, sure, to the store there. Holy smoke.
Then all that's wrong with Ben's chickens is that they're drunk. Boiled to the gills.
You mean to say that old used...
Yeah, I mean to say. Now, come on. I think you and Ben had better have a little talk. So they talked, Ben and Culpepper. In exchange for not being reported, Culpepper agreed to pay my expense account, Ben's veterinary bills, and to move out of the county. Oh, I suppose I should have notified the local authorities of what was going on. But isn't that really a job for the company? After all, like I said, it is out of my bailiwick.
And you know something?
The stuff Culpepper was turning out of that old barn wasn't half bad. Expense account total to the company, nothing. Yours truly, Johnny Dollar.
Johnny Dollar, starring Bob Bailey, originates in Hollywood and is produced and directed by Jack Johnstone, who also wrote today's story. Heard in our cast were Lucille Meredith, Howard McNear, Gil Stratton, Jack Moyles, and Sam Edwards. Be sure to join us next week, same time and station, for another exciting story of yours truly, Johnny Dollar. This is Dan Cumberly speaking. Presentation of the United States Armed Forces Radio and Television Service.